Well, the situation has two dimensions to it. Firstly, is this layer of very high vulnerability that seems to now be with us every year, from one year to the next, 20 to 30 million people that are just acutely vulnerable. And that number isn't coming down substantially from one year to the next. It's tied up with some deep structural issues to do with climate change, to do with demographic growth and so forth. And then the other dimension of the Sahel crisis is related to conflict and violence and insecurity. And there, that goes up and down from one year to the next. And we're entering, unfortunately, into a period where that aspect of the Sahel drama, if you will, is really heightened, unfortunately.
And so what are the most immediate needs right now?
Again, these two aspects of the Sahel crisis. Today, we have a very heavy caseload of food insecure people. Over 20 million people are food insecure as we start 2015. 2.5 million of them at a very severe level, even just after harvests. We have almost 6 million acutely malnourished children, over 15 million people that are really at high risk of epidemics over the next year. So this very big chronic caseload, if you will. Overshadowing that, as we enter 2015, is a very rapidly expanding group of people affected by insecurity, by violence, by conflict. A year ago, we had about 1.4 million people that were refugees or internally displaced people. Today, 2.8 million, more than 1 million extra people have joined this list of refugees, internally displaced people, and so forth. This conflict dimension of the Sahel has unfortunately put a real shadow over the region over the last 12 months, and the indications for looking ahead are not very promising at all.
What are the biggest challenges you face in helping those in need?
I guess two issues for me stand out. The first is, with emergency response, we save lives. We treat acutely malnourished girl and we send her home. But she goes home to the same house with the same lack of access to clean water, with the same lack of access to healthcare, with the prospect still of a marriage age perhaps at only 15. So we haven't fixed the underlying drivers of her malnutrition problem, what brought her to the hospital in the first place. So the first big challenge is to make sure that whilst we do this life-saving work in the short term, the real problems are being addressed at the same time, these long-term structural issues. So that's the first big challenge to make sure that we start reversing these fundamental trends. The second issue is one of access and insecurity. Unfortunately, today the Sahel's becoming more and more dangerous place for our humanitarian workers to operate. Kidnappings, even killings in the last year. More than half of the UN's fatalities in the course of last year were in Mali alone. Northern Mali's become very dangerous. Access in Nigeria, northeast Nigeria now is very limited. So we certainly also have that dimension of our challenges in our work as well.
You've launched a new appeal for nearly $2 billion. What is the worst case scenario if you don't get this funding?
Well, the numbers of people we need to help are pretty vast. With that $2 billion, we aim to provide food assistance to almost 10 million people, to treat 3.2 million acutely malnourished children, to protect up to 10 million people from epidemics, and to get at least 2 million children into schooling in emergency conditions. So the stakes are high for acutely malnourished children. They're high, of course, for refugees and displaced people that find themselves completely uprooted from their homes, from their livelihoods. They're high for communities that host these refugees and displaced people. The list really goes on. The stakes are enormously high that we deliver on this $2 billion worth of priorities in 2015.